My lecture this morning was, I rest in God. It's very interesting because sometimes I feel that I have two existences. I think that we all do as Course in Miracles students sometimes. And the question that, as Course in Miracles students, what we deal with is the same thing that we deal with in any other serious spiritual path, because we have these questions about our relationship to the world. And we wonder, you know, this image that we've all heard about being in the world, but not of the world. So sometimes, you know, you can observe the times where, through A Course in Miracles or any other spiritual path, you've achieved a kind of peace. And you can observe the times when you are not at peace. And you simply, you know, you make some conclusions based on what was going on when I was at peace and what was going on when I wasn't at peace. And I know for myself, when I'm in a state of kind of agitation of the world, I'm always seeking answers. And I always want to know what's going to happen. And I'm always trying to figure things out. And sometimes seeking answers that are not attainable. You know, sometimes I have little psychic flashes. I'm sure that we all do. But they're not under my sort of conscious control. So I get very upset, because if I have a psychic flash about what's going to happen in one situation, then I say to myself, well, why can't I have a psychic flash about what's going to happen in another situation? And I guess the point is that you're given information from your psyche, from the Holy Spirit, however all that stuff operates, according to what would be best for you. And in certain ways, it does, you know, the more you, like if you go to psychics or astrologers or something, ultimately you do begin to recognize that there's some reason why you don't know things. And so some of the answers, and it becomes a kind of clutching, kind of frantic way of life, you know, seeking certain kind of answers that sort of don't just come up for you naturally. And I remember reading in that wonderful book by Rilke, Letters to a Young Poet, and I've also seen this kind of a point referred to by Indian philosophers. Rilke says in this book, he says, love the questions themselves. Remain with the questions. And it's an amazing kind of exercise in living in the present, that instead of trying to get out of the question, that's what I'll find myself doing. I can't stand this not knowing. I can't stand this question. I've got to know. And yet when you stop fighting the fact that you don't know, you can exist comfortably within the question, knowing that life is more about questions than it is about answers. That is the answer. The Course in Miracles talks about the answer with a capital A. And the answer with a capital A is what the Course in Miracles describes as a kind of state of awareness, what the Course calls the holy instant. And the holy instant, which is the answer with a capital A, is where we no longer care what happens, where we give up the attachment that we have to the answer in a worldly sense. And that's why, you know, sometimes when we talk about meditation here, we'll talk about when you're in an agitated state, you want to go call somebody, talk to somebody about it, figure it out, get answers from without. And yet, what the Course teaches us to do is at that moment to meditate, to go within, to surrender, and it is an incredible giving up and relinquishment for the ego, because what the ego is hell. That's what hell is. There is no greater hell than that concept. Well, there's, you know, that's a category of hell, really, what ego makes of the present moment when we are in that state of agitation and clutching and grabbing and wanting to control it and make it better. That state is the problem. We think the problem is putting us into that state. Really, that state is the problem, and that state comes about because we allow the questions of life to be problems. Now, so some people hearing this out of context, or perhaps this kind of ideas for the first time, would say, what, you're just supposed to like let it go and give it to God and just relax? Yes. However, let's talk about what that means. That's not an abdication of responsibility. Actually, it's a great owning of responsibility. It's a great owning of power in a situation. Somebody sent me the other day a darling little card, and it had a picture of Jesus, and Jesus is standing there, and all the birds are flying to him, and the animals are coming to him, and it's one of those things like you see in the fairy tales often, where the figure of the perfected one is surrounded by the forces of nature, usually represented by animals, really in a gentle state. There's this harmony among all the elements. And that represents what occurs in the state of in the presence of a non-agitated awareness. Because we're waiting for the situation to change so that we will no longer be agitated. But the real way it works is that when we choose to no longer be agitated, the situation will harmonize. Right? We're thinking that our state of mind is that the effect of the circumstances, when what the Course is teaching us, is that your state of mind is only at the effect of where you choose to focus. If you focus on the circumstances, then unless the circumstances are totally to your liking, you will be in a state of agitation. Now also, we know from living our lives that if you, once you're in a situation where everything is perfect, it doesn't stay that way too long. Why? Because otherwise, how would you grow? That's what growth is your ability to expand your embrace of life beyond what's comfortable for you. So that, you know, you never get to rest on your laurels in this universe in terms of growth of consciousness. The top of one mountain is always the bottom of the next. Isn't that right? So what spiritual practice is where we say, I can't do this anymore. This is what's destroying me. What's destroying me is not what's happening. What's destroying me is the state of mind I'm always in because I never can quite get a grasp on what's happening. But what's happening in the world is not what we get a grasp on. We own our power in a situation by letting those things be where they are and knowing that we don't go for peace based on what happens in the world. We go for peace based on our relationship to God. See, some people, you know, a lot, the way religion has illustrated this for a lot of us is the notion that we go to God to help, to get Him to help us with the circumstances. But remember, the circumstances don't so much come from Him, they come from us. So rather, it's that we go to God to say, Dear God, calm my mind. And you get God to calm your mind simply through the focus on God. Focus on God is, by definition, a letting go of your focus on what happens in the world. That's why, you know, sometimes I found myself going into meditation, thinking that in meditation the situation would be clarified for me. Now, sometimes that kind of thing occurs, but that's not really what you go into meditation for. You don't go to meditate in the morning or whenever you do it in order to get clarity on the circumstance. You go to meditation in order to escape the realm where the circumstances matter. You go to God for God's sake. You go to God for the experience of God. Like we say here, you know, God is not your errand boy. The highest level of prayer is not where you're asking God for something. The highest level of prayer is the sweetness of a relationship with that realm of things. I remember when, and it always reminds me, when I do find it, and then I come out of the meditation, and it's not that the circumstances have changed, it's just that I'm totally clear that they will handle themselves better without my interference. And unfortunately, because the creative level of things is the mental level, my frantic agitation over a situation is a level of interference. So really, the greatest good you can do for a situation, once again, if you look at, because it's all in the inner realm, it's getting it. And I see in the areas of my life where I don't get attached, where I just don't sort of care, where it's easy for me to say, well, whatever will be, I can see how they just, it's like the universe says, thank you, I can take it from here. Right? And everything's just enabled to just flow. And you know what? We have to decide for ourselves. And no one can decide it for anyone else. Every human being sort of makes this decision for ourselves. Is this a beneficent universe or not? And the Course in Miracles would say, well, it's trying to be. It is in itself a beneficent universe, but we create the conflicts through our interference. Remember, the Course in Miracles says a lot of what you call helping is actually interference. You're trying to control. And once again, unfortunately, this, you know, grasping and clutching and agitation, even mentally, is a way of doing that. I need the answer. I need the answer. Whereas the state of the Christ on that card or the fairy tale figures is always that in the presence of one who is just at peace, then the situation can turn around to be peaceful. So when we are in that state of agitation, we go to God for the experience of a realm which is not of this world. I remember when I was a child, and I'm sure you do too, you were too young to know what the grown-ups were talking about. You didn't know what they were talking about. You didn't really care what they were talking about. It wasn't real to you. You had your own little world. Now, do you remember you were happier than they were? Right? And they were, just like we see like little children running around now, they would look at us and kind of long for the innocence that we had. And the innocence that we had and the happiness that we had was because we did not concern ourselves with things that did not matter. And everybody says to children, well, honey, you don't have to concern yourself with that. We'll do that. You should never have to concern yourself with those things. We have bred into us a miserable way of life. We are taught how to be unhappy. Now, some people would say, but then how will there ever be, you know, if people aren't taught that kind of attachment to the things of this world, who will run the world? Because you have to have adults with this kind of fix-it mentality in order to make things better. Now, let's be real clear. We're not doing very well. Planet. It's not like every generation the adult consciousness is really getting better. You know, and the answer obviously is not for us to have more and more attachment to the things of this world, because obviously more and more attachment that we have to the things of this world is the problem in this world, not the absence of it. Somebody was saying to me yesterday, he was talking about, he says, you know, I have this problem about, is the inherent nature of man good, or is the inherent nature of man not good? He said, you know, I got to tell you, I drive through down the streets in Los Angeles and I see the way people are in their cars. And it's difficult for me to look at that and say the inherent nature of man is good. These people are fighting for survival. Well, of course, what did I say to him? You are living in Los Angeles. A big city like this is not an example of a place where the inherent nature of mankind exactly shines. That's the whole point. You don't see. Living in a city like this and what this teaches us and what it breeds into us is not an example of the honoring of the inherent nature of man. By definition, somebody having to be in a car to get someplace and get there quick and having all that stuff brings out in us and teaches us to be something other than what we actually are. Then we are taught to identify with that realm of things, and we're always seeking comfort within that realm, but we can never find comfort within that realm, the Course says, because this world is not your home. So we, all of us, have these areas where I want an answer in that area, I want an answer in that area, I want this in that area, I want that in that area. The Course in Miracles is very radical. That world can never content you. So you have a choice. You can either keep moving around in it, trying to get what you want, or you can say, you know what, it'll never, of course, there's nothing in this world good enough for you. You can have the most money, you can have the biggest house, you can have the greatest job, you can have all that, but as long as you are identifying with that realm, there will be an unnaturalness to it for you, and no matter how much you have, you'll be seeking more, because no matter how much you have in that realm, it never is enough to satisfy that real deep-seated hunger that we have, so we keep trying to have more, so it will always be a kind of insatiable appetite. But the ego mind tells us if we just give up, that we are removing ourselves from the world, and we're just kind of giving up the fight. And the ego sees this as a negative passivity. I'm not talking about a negative passivity here, and I'll tell you why. When you are in that state of agitation, you are by definition in a state of tension. You are not effective in the world when you are in that state of tension. When you give up through meditation, when you just in your own mind practice your spiritual path and do whatever it takes to know through principles, through the Course, through whatever path, that you look around and you say, you know, I really get that these things don't matter and I'm just going to let them go. It does not make you, as we say here all the time, someone who then sits home all day, watches bad television, you know, eats, you know, bad food, although I have been, and just completely forgets about what happens in the world. Something happens very different from that. And that is that the Course in Miracles tells us that the world is corrected on a level not of this world. So the presence of someone standing forth in the world who has detached their mental focus from the things of this world becomes through their presence a transformer of the world. Because the Course in Miracles says that the world is healed and corrected on the invisible plane. So when you become someone who was, you know, and the way I always put it, I say the level of conflict will never be exited through the level of consciousness, which is of the conflict. If you are conflicted, there's no answer someone can give you about the conflict that is the ultimate answer. Right? The answer that will satisfy you is someone who gives you indications how you can just get out of the area of the problem and get into the area of the answer. I mean, this, even 12 says, get into the answer. Don't stay stuck in the problem. So the answer, the solution, has to do with finding that place in us where, as I said, we have to let go in order to start over. We're letting go. We have a whole file full of possible answers to the problem, but they're always still our answers. We have to just throw the file away and say, I cannot even imagine the answers to this. Like they say in AA, if you do the same things you've been doing, you're going to get the same results you've been getting. Not only in our individual lives is that obviously true, but in terms of the whole planet. Where are we going? Because if we're heading in the same direction we've been heading in, something has got to fundamentally change. We know that. Any thinking person knows that. We're talking fundamental change here. Let's just let it go and start over. And it's just like, you know, when Alice in Wonderland goes deep, you know, she takes the door to some subterranean level. In the movie Splash, remember, the children and the mermaid belongs in that realm beneath the waves, beneath the ocean. And that's a beautiful symbol, isn't it, for the spiritual life, where we just exit this realm. This realm, you know, the Course in Miracles and God, and I remember in the Seth books, he really talks about this very profoundly. He says, you are so arrogant to think that this realm of earth consciousness is so important. He says, in the cosmic scheme of things, you have no idea what a little speck of dust this is. And yet you hold on for dear life because the ego says that's what your life is. There's a much greater life. That's why Jesus talks about those who lose their lives shall find their lives. We give up. We give up the whole story. We just can't fight anymore. Then what happens, much to our surprise, is that as we live our lives giving up all the preconceptions we have, because that's really what miracles come from. You have to be willing to get off your position. You have to be willing to get off your position. You have to be willing to let go your judgments. You have to be willing to let go your interpretations. All the stuff the world tells you about getting educated. You got to get data. You got to get information. You got to all put it all together. Then you got to make these important conclusions based on what you've learned. Then the Course in Miracles comes and says, nope, giving it all up is the way to salvation. Forget everything you've been taught. Forget everything you think you know. Forget all your conclusions and admit you know nothing. You don't know what anything means because we're in the thought, I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. The Course says it is your salvation to know you don't know what the situation means. Stop trying to know what it means because even when people think they know what it means, they don't know what it means because in God's eyes, all that anything means is that miracles can grow from this. A miracle can open up from this, but not if we're still capping the situation through our thinking we know what it means. So we're going in with this ever to know it, and one of the prayers in the Course in Miracles is, I don't know what anything, including this, means, and I will not use my past to guide me now. Nothing that has happened in my past can teach me anything. All of our questions are based on the past. All of our agitation is based on the fact that the past didn't give us what we want. So as we talk about here so much, when we come to spiritual fellowship of any kind of work that we do, whether it's our own practice of meditation or with a group, is in order to let go all this mental junk that has accumulated from our trying to figure out what life is about. And the kind of figuring out that something like the Course in Miracles is about and the principles of spirituality are actually principles which help us divest ourselves, which help us divest ourselves of all of the agitation in the mind and help us actually to focus on a simpler way of living. Now, what happens then, as I said, is that you do not lose power in the world. You gain much more power. You give up. There's a lesson where it says, I give up the first place in order to have to be second, and when I take second place to a power greater than myself, then you go back into the world, but you are actually the conduit for a great harmonizing. It's not that then you go back into the situations of your life and you're going to fix it. It's not that you come out of meditation and you know consciously how to fix it, what to do. It's that in one mind, giving it up, by definition, when you give it up, that allows God to come in. Because you can't have two drivers. Either we're trying to run things or we're allowing a power greater than ourselves to run things. And this is all in the mental realm. And when we do that, something miraculous occurs. We stand forth in a kind of innocence. We're not concerning ourselves with things that are not our business, because it is not our business to drive. We're always trying to control things we can't control and to fix things we can't fix, when what we're trying to control can't be controlled by us anyway, and when what we're trying to fix would be much better off if we left it alone. And that's why we're in pain. And when we decide not to do that and go forth into any situation, just choosing not to, just making as our goal in any situation, peace. That's why our goal is peace. Our goal in a situation is not to make it happen this way or that way, because the Course says, look, trying to make things occur this way or that way is a way of staying in that realm of the fix-it and the clutching and the grabbing. You don't know what would be best anyway. If we're trying to make a situation go a certain way, we're by definition, all we're really trying to do is to compensate for the fact that it hurt in the past. It didn't give us what we needed in the past. But what we're really doing then is keeping the past alive. By relating to the past and the present, trying to get the future to relate to the past, we never get off that wheel of suffering. But what making your goal peace is saying, look, I don't even know what's supposed to happen. I can't know what's supposed to happen. Even if I knew what was supposed to happen, I don't, from my conscious mortal awareness, have any capacity to make it happen. I don't have control over other people. And when I try to have control over other people, the last thing I'll have is control over people. Right? And try over things, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So obviously that's not, it's like a chicken trying to fly. It's not my natural realm, or a fish trying to walk. Obviously that realm that you and I are always trying to navigate within is not our realm, or we'd be more effective within it. But the realm that is ours feels unnatural to us, because it feels like a giving up of control. And that's because it's like we have wings, but we don't know it. We don't know we're meant to fly. So we keep, you know, looking for our legs that we don't even need. But we're not earth beings. We're really not, of course. As you know, once you have flown with the wings of an eagle, you won't look for the wings of a sparrow anymore. We're talking about exchanging the little realm of power for a much greater realm of power. And it feels to the ego like, oh my God, I'm giving up control, because you are giving up the notion that what you do with your body is the creative element in a situation. What you say and what you do. And that's why the Course is the highest level of consciousness, is the realization, I need do nothing. It's not about what you do. It's about finding that place in you where, like Jesus or like the fairy tale figures, everything just harmonizes because we're there. And that's because we seek our innocence. We don't seek a change in the situation. We just seek peace. And we go into any situation and our mental focus, and this is something you literally do. You don't do it out loud. You do it in your mind. But you know, I say all the time here, don't just think about praying, pray. When you go into a situation and you want it to go according to the ways of the Holy Spirit, you actually say inside, this is the MO. This is the technique. This is the craft. You know, people want to know, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? This is what you do. You do what it takes to be comfortable with doing nothing. And that means you do things on the inside so that your inner life, see, right now we ignore the inner life and nothing going on in here. We think, well, it'll be something, you know, I'll make a call, I'll do something, I'll go someplace. And really, if we were really focusing our energy where it belongs, which is remembering in this moment, Holy Spirit, whatever your words are, Holy Spirit, I surrender this to you. You know, you can be looking at a person, they don't know what you're thinking, and what you're thinking is, Holy Spirit, I desire to see the innocence in this person. If you don't, Holy Spirit, I only wish that your will unfold here. And you know, you do this in spite of how you feel. That's the point. If you are going into a situation where you have a lot of attachment and a lot of investment to the result, that's why you say this. You know, you say a prayer as you go into a situation, Holy Spirit, my desire is that your will be met here. And through that, it's like you pushed a button on the computer in spite of your emotions around it. And that is your power. And the more you do that, and it's very simple, we just give everything to Him and ask that everything unfold according to His will, and we just want peace. Holy Spirit, I don't know what's supposed to happen here. Holy Spirit, I give this to you. Holy Spirit, be with me. Holy Spirit, take this situation into your hands. And it's also the key to self-esteem. It's the key to self-confidence, because, you know, you might be in some situation when everybody's looking to you. How are you going to handle it? Well, don't kid yourself. You don't know how to do anything real important in terms of changing this world because of yourself. You're just flesh and bones. We're nothing of ourselves. So when we really want power in a situation, we don't pretend to be able to do anything. But remember that wonderful line in the Course. Don't be concerned about your own readiness. Just be consistently aware of mine. He says, don't just go into the situation and don't think that, oh my God, it's not even dear God, make me ready. Dear God, make me ready still isn't getting to it, because dear God still makes you the center of attention. Not dear God, make me ready. It's dear God, you do it. Dear God, you do it. You are the power. You do it. You be everything. And you just relax. And that's why, you know, it's no accident that in disease these days, that all the doctors, everybody's saying stress is the problem. Stress is the problem. Tension is the problem. But, you know, you can get massages and all body work and all that's very wonderful and it helps. But if your mind is still crazy, it's going to be very difficult to really find that relaxed place. But and the only way to really relax the mind is to give up control. And to find that childlike place, be ye as a little child. Be ye as a little child, he says in the Course means just like in the Bible when he says a child doesn't know what anything means. Just like I was saying when we were kids, we didn't involve ourselves, we didn't know what anything means. We just, you know, figured the grown-ups would handle it. And he said, you were right. You knew that someone older and wiser than yourself, this was for them to handle. And he says, now that is how you should look at me. So as adults, we're supposed to be children to the Holy Spirit. You're always supposed to be a childlike, in childlike relationship to the entity which knows which is further ahead than you. And as adults on this earth, that doesn't mean we have it all figured out, obviously. And the problem is that we think we do. Or we're pretending that we do because it scares us that we don't. Until you recognize we're not supposed to, but he who is within us does. And it just becomes your shoulders just relax from thinking about it. And like I said, the ego goes crazy. The ego says, what? I'm not supposed to control this. I mean, a lot of us came here this morning wondering what we could do to make a situation be different in our lives. Isn't that right? Some situation that you think that you have to control. Some situation that you're wishing would go a certain way, that you want to go a certain way. Isn't that true? I mean, is there anybody in this room who can actually, for whom there is not? Can anybody actually say that there is no situation in your life that you have investment in? Right? So in this moment, let's think about what it would mean for us to just say, I can't control it. I can't do it. God, I give it to you. And I know if you're anything like me, and you are, because we're all the same, this brings up a bit of fear. A lot of fear is, we say here all the time, what if God loses my file? Right? What if God doesn't want what I want? And that's why I said that in the Course in Miracles, the issue is this a beneficent universe or not? And what the Course says is, God wants what's best for you. The Course says, your problem is that you don't realize how loved you are. Your problem is that you don't realize that the universe is set up to support your win. That's the way the universe is set up. Just like there are laws, there's a law of gravity. If I take my hands off this can right now, it will fall to the floor. No one doubts that. And yet the Course says that it is just as much a law that when just you take your hands off your circumstances, everything falls in place for your higher good. But we don't really believe that because we have been taught that it's a chaotic universe. We've been taught that it's a chaotic universe, and we think we need to get into the chaos to make it less chaotic. And that perpetuates the chaos. So what we do here, sort of in spite of our resistance, for those of us who find it comfortable, is we say, you know, I can't do this. And so whatever the situation is in my life where I have an attachment to result, whether it's my career or my health, or my relationships, or whatever it is, I face the fact right now that I of myself am just a tiny little speck of dust. What can I do? And I also understand the principle that to the extent to which I try to change things and make them better, I can't anyway. And that for me to surrender control and ask that the Holy Spirit do it for me is by definition to just settle into that realm where there's got to be a level of I don't care. You know, what people say here all the time is, well, I always give it to God and then I take it back. Well, let's get off that. Everybody's been saying that for years. That's what we're talking about, a more hardcore approach. If I mean I really just settle in and whatever happens, happens. I can't do that anymore. I can't live in that realm anymore. And we are so afraid that this will be giving up our power. And what it really does is it says, God says, thank you. That's not when your life on this earth stops. That's when things start. That's when life starts. That's when God says, can we start now? Because that's when you are allowing him to come into your personality and change you. Because until you change, everything you do in this world will be infused with your energy. So if you've got this streak of stuff in you that's not cool, then no matter if somebody says, do this, do that, do that, do that, but that streak in you that's not cool and your personality is going to ruin every situation in any way. And that's why no matter what you do, it's all going to come back to that same stuff and that same sabotage and that same despair of I blew it again. When you give it up, it makes you, just like when I was younger and I used to study, take sculpting classes, and we had to come in with our spray bottles and moisten the clay every morning. Because if we didn't moisten it, it would become brittle and you couldn't work with it anymore. And that's how we have to be. We have to be flexible enough that God can work within us. And then something changes in our personality. Something changes who we are in who we are. Remember what I say all the time. A powerful person in this world is not just someone who goes around doing everything. A powerful person in this world is someone around whom things get done. That's the work. The work is not that you go do this or do that. The work is that you do the inner work so that something, a force field, becomes so powerful in your presence that everything falls into place in a way that is compelling. That's what power is. It's something that emanates from him. We say this all the time. Look what Gandhi did. This tremendous, powerful tide in history that was shifted. And look at all the time he spent lying down and hungry. I mean, the guy slept. The guy lay there hungry. It all happened around him. It was his inspiration that came from his focus on something inside of himself. So this being leaving the world behind doesn't make you less powerful in the world. This leaving the world behind, even though there is a period in our practice where we feel that way, what always happens, and we can see this in our own experience, that as you enter back into the world, which you will, you just enter from a different place. I mean, you still show up at the meeting. You still show up for the date. You still show up at the appointment. I mean, you don't just go into your bedroom and sit there. It's in your mind you go into the monastery. The monastery experience is in the mind. People can go into a monastery and still remain as crazy as ever. And people can be living in Los Angeles, going through all this stuff, but you found that monastery in your mind. Then you go back into the situations in the world and you carry different energy with you. And you speak in a different way. It might not even be so much that you say different things. It's how you speak them are different. Your insights are different. Your perceptions are different because they're guided by him. You gave it up. You're asking, dear God, may your will be done, Father, not my own. My mind holds only what I think with God is one of the exercises. I rest into him. I just want to see it the way he sees it. I want to say it the way he would have me say it. I want to think about it the way he would have me think about it. I want to want what he wants. I give up all that other stuff. I'm just asking for him. And what that, he is the higher place within you. So when you give it to God, what you are, you're not giving it something outside of yourself. You're saying, I don't want the small, frightened, controlling me to lead here. The small, frightened, controlling me does not get the job done. But I ask that God come in here and make me somebody bigger. And make me somebody around whom there's just a greater peace. And then everything falls into place. And the Course says, and if you don't have faith at that moment, you don't have faith in other people. He says, when a situation has been dedicated wholly to truth, everybody will play their part. I mean, one of the things I've seen in myself is when I'm real afraid about a situation, I'm not trusting other people. If I'm real afraid about how something might happen, I'm by definition thinking other people will not behave from their highest. Well, if I'm not expecting people to behave from their highest, why would they behave from their highest if all I get back are what my thoughts? So it's got to be, I just know everybody's going to do the perfect thing. I just know everybody's going to do the perfect thing and everything's going to just be perfect because that's what my worldview is. And I don't have to do anything to make that happen. For myself, anyway, meditation is the key to that. That constant, and that's why meditation is, that's why we resist it so much. That's why we just don't, it's the ego's death. That's why the ego doesn't want you to do it. But like with anything else, with physical exercise or anything, the more you get into the groove of doing it, the more it feels natural. Let's conclude this little section of our talk today with a prayer. And let's take that situation that you clutch at and grab at and are agitated about. And let's give this over to him. Now, before we do, does anybody have any problem? I know we all have emotionally a little bit of a problem with this in certain ways. But does anybody have any problems with doing just even in terms of the principle of it or the intellectual understanding? Seriously, does anybody have any problem with this which makes you uncomfortable going into this prayer? And do we all understand that these prayers are very real things? Prayer is the medium of miracles. I mean, prayer is a mental focus, and we're not only talking the mental focus here of one person, but all of us together. This is powerful stuff. So once you enter into this realm through this prayer, nothing will be quite the same. You know what I'm saying? So are you ready to do that? Okay, then let's do that. Please just answer her. Tell her. Somebody tell her. All right, please take the hand of the person who is seated next to you. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger, until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. And with the power of our shared thought, we focus in this moment on the notion of a powerful principle, God's power of healing, perfection, correction, health, abundance, prosperity, love, joy, endless life, endless expansion of good. We recognize in this moment that this principle exists. And principle is thought, and thought is real. And this thought is not our thought. It is the thought of God Himself, and is thus real and infallible and forever true. And we realize in this moment how little we focus, how infrequently we remember this principle which lies behind the delusions and illusions and horrors of this world. And we recognize that this principle of good is seated on a throne, as it were, within each of us. We go into our own minds at this moment, and we recognize a kind of throne room. And we look at this throne where sits the source of power in our lives. And we see who is sitting there. And we see that it is us. And as we sit on this throne, we also see how frightened we are in this seat, for we know it is not where we belong. And now we remember that this principle of perfection and healing and good and life and love and harmony and the perfection of all situations, the perfect unfoldment of all situations, is a principle which takes a form within us. For some of us, this thought is symbolized by the personal entity of Jesus. By some, this principle is symbolized by the personal form of some other master or spiritual entity. For others of us, this is the principle itself or the presence of a golden light. Whatever form it takes for us, or in whatever way we relate to its formlessness, does not matter. What we allow ourselves to do at this time is to leave the throne ourselves. And we see now, as Jesus or some other expression of God's power within us is now seated upon this throne within our mind. Power has been returned to God. we feel how much more relaxed a life it is to know that God is in control. That seated on this throne is one who has all the answers, who can direct all dimensions of time and space. And now we call into the throne room with us as we stand or sit, whatever, before the throne. We now call to mind every aspect of the situation about which we grasp and cling and want and need. All the people involved, all the aspects involved, all the questions, the hopes, the goals, the joys, the sorrows, whatever it is, we bring it into this room. And in this moment, we surrender the entire situation or situations, whatever they are, to the Master in His throne. We know that He has unlimited power to heal and to solve. We know that His ways are not our ways. We know that although we often work through the ways of fear, His are the ways of love, and thus the ways of God, and thus the way of power. We know that He who is in the throne has heard us, sees the situation, and now we witness as He lifts His hand in blessing and in benediction. He grants our request for peace and for perfection. We know that it is built into the universe that we cannot go to Him for this in vain. He hears us, He grants us our wish. And now we ourselves go up to Him. And in this moment, become like a little child and climb up into His lap and lie there in His arms. And we realize how long we have waited for someone to come along and run our lives for us. And we allow ourselves to feel safe and protected, whole and sure, just as when we were children, knowing that Daddy is here, Mommy is here, whatever figure is here who now represents for us safety and protection and healing and love. We know now there is nothing to fear. Whatever it is, we can let go now. God is on the case. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, Amen.